Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Marketing Trends, the podcast where we delve into the complexities of technology, sales, marketing, and the innovations driving our industry forward. Today's episode is titled Navigating the Future of Sales, and we're excited to have Tony Hughes, a leading authority in B2B sales strategies and the CEO and innovative mind behind Sales IQ Global, with us today. And with an illustrious career spanning several decades, Tony has developed a profound understanding of sales dynamics, leveraging both traditional techniques and modern technologies to empower sales teams and enhance their productivity. So in this episode, we will chat about things like integrating the cutting-edge technologies like AI and other techs into the sales process, but also other aspects of how these tools and other ways can revolutionize sales strategies and productivity. So with that short introduction, welcome to Tech Marketing Trends, Tony.
Jacob, thank you so much for having me on the show again and really looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, it was so great to have you back. It was 2 or 3 years ago. And so much have happened in the space of sales technology or tech tools for sales industry. So super interesting and really excited. But for listeners who might have missed you last time, maybe you can give us a little bit overview of what you're doing and what's Sales IQ Global and things like that before we start.
Yeah, so look, I'll certainly keep that brief. I think the people watching this or listening to this would really love some tips on how they can further drive their own success. But I've had probably 3.5 decades in professional selling. I've led the Asia Pacific region for North American multinational tech companies. And about 12 years ago, I decided to go out on my own doing sales strategy consulting. In the last 5 years, formed the company Sales IQ Global. I just had a mental block then. And we do sales training and enablement, sales methodology and strategy for some of the biggest brands in the world in the tech sector. So the tech sector is certainly part of the market that we specialize in.
Wonderful. That's so interesting. So you have a great overview of all the trends and things going on a global basis. So when we met a few years back, we talked about, you know, you have released a book by then and so forth. And with ChatGPT and everything going on in the AI sector, so much have happened since then. So if we just start on the top there, what have been the most significant changes in B2B sales over the last 2 years since we had our last session, would you say?
Well, the thing, Jacob, that's really changed in selling since I started a long time ago is that the buyer today very much feels that they have a degree of control. We live in an information age. It's very easy for them to do a Google search. Even with platforms like LinkedIn, they can reach out within their own professional network for advice. There's companies and other professionals in similar roles that they typically admire. Mm-hmm. And they have conversations, and often a shortlist is developed before all of the different competitors can have a chance to try and vie for the interest or the business of a customer. So the other side of that coin is buyers really just know enough to be a danger to themselves as opposed to being truly empowered with information. Mm-hmm. Often they're fairly confused. And one of the universal and timeless truths of selling is that the seller who can really educate the buyer, make them aware of their own opportunities, how they can drive improved results in ways that manage their risks. If we can bring to a potential customer a perspective from us working with others in the industry of a customer, we tend to become the emotional favorite. But the way we need to educate a customer today is very different to what it was many years ago. And when we last spoke, I think I just published the book Tech Powered Sales. Yeah, and we actually prophesied a whole range of things that have actually come to pass. We actually predicted the rise of generative AI. It was actually in 2017 that the most important thing, I think, in the entire history of technology, and even in the future when we look back, we will universally agree that what happened in 2017, very silently without any fanfare, was a seminal moment for tech and the world, and that was the creation of transformers. A lot of people don't know that when you think about ChatGPT, the GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. And transformers have moved from being driven originally or initially by algorithms to now have neural networks that have moved from guided learning into self-learning and now into reinforced learning. And the rate of change is just absolutely breathtaking. You know, it's really interesting that if we have a look at the fact that AI defeated Go about 4 years ago, the most difficult game in the world, the oldest continuously played game in the world, about 2,500 years. And AlphaGo beat the 18 times world champion Lee Sedol. And they shocked the world in game two. It was move 37, where the computer demonstrated genuine creativity. It did something that had never been seen before. It wasn't something you'd ever program in. Most people thought that AlphaGo had made a mistake, but it was a stroke of genius. And the computer beat Lee Sedol 4 games to 1. And what they've done very recently is they've applied Alpha as an AI to different problems, and they've applied it to protein folding. And they achieved, in 1 year of effort using Alpha as an AI, in 1 year of effort, they've achieved the equivalent of 1 billion years of PhD graduate work, right? 1 billion person years of PhD grad work to actually define all of the proteins for protein folding. And the thing that was amazing was that the company that actually developed all of this was acquired by Google, and they've decided to give that IP away to the world as open source code or information. So for researchers, biologists, and pharmaceutical companies, it's an amazing gift that they've given them to obviously improve mankind is the plan. But the creation of Transformers in 2017, when they were first created, they were kind of okay. People maybe laughed at the mistakes, the hallucinations that the technology could have, its inability to be able to contextualize effectively. But I've now listened in under NDA to different companies' technologies that they're bringing to market, and I've heard an AI seller run an outbound telephone conversation to a prospect in response to the prospect filling in an inbound form on a website expressing interest. And even though the AI talking sales bot declared that it was a bot, the human was distracted and missed all of that and didn't really realize that they were talking to a bot. And the bot did blended qualification and discovery and booked a demo call for a human, and actually sent out the calendar invite. So yeah, the technology is changing at a staggering pace. And for every person that's listening to this or watching this, we've always known that we need reasonable intelligence or IQ to be successful as a human in any role, a knowledge worker role. In selling, we need high emotional quotient, EQ, but increasingly today we need technical quotient. We need to become aware and then masterfully capable at orchestrating our own tech stack, because that's the thing that's missing today with all of the AI is orchestration. We're now moving into the realm of AI agents and a thing called agentic workflows. So agent-based workflows will have specialist agents for doing research, for monitoring trigger events, for doing personalization and outreach. But we as the humans are really that orchestration level at the moment. So we need to know how to apply the strengths of what we offer as a human and leverage the capabilities of technology.
You're at the focal point of all this research and development going on. So that's so interesting. But if you take and extrapolate this, where do you see AI reshaping the sales process or, other tech as well? But how do you see the sales profession evolving? And, we're going to be more technical and should focus on orchestrating it, but will we be more focused on more downstream, or what roles do you see come, or what roles do you see go?
That's such a great question. In the book Tech Powered Sales, we predicted back in 2020 that in this decade that we're in, one third of business-to-business sales roles would disappear. Where I believe those roles will disappear from are in the basic top of funnel inbound roles. So if a prospect is in their own journey of trying to find a potential provider to resolve a problem, they'll start searching, they'll hit your website, and we need to be able to respond to them. So I'm actually working in a project at the moment as part of the Sales IQ Global business in partnership with some leading technology companies. We're looking at fully automating this, what we call the SDR role, the sales development representative role. That's the inbound rep. And most chatbots you find on websites are not good. It's very easy to become very frustrated as a potential customer when you're engaging with these chatbots. So to have an omni-channel bot, whether it's video, whether it's voice, in other words, you could fill in a form and ask someone to call you, so chatbot could phone, or whether it's text-based, but to be able to contextualize and be responsive and act in the buyer's best interests. So don't seek to manipulate them, seek to really help them, and at the same time, elevate and reframe the conversation. Because what we know is the party that educates, provides insight, is the one that the buyer ends up wanting to do business with. And the way that we open an opportunity really sets the agenda for being able to progress and close. There's been people that have said that in modern selling, opening is the new closing. And there's an element of truth to that, that the way we open is so important. Closing can often be overrated. So in those top of funnel areas, in trying to monitor for where there's buying intent, there's technology and tools that can really do that. So one of the things that we talk about a lot at Sales IQ Global is every company, and whether you're in marketing or selling, or whether you're an entrepreneur, we need to look ourselves in the mirror and be very honest about our own product market fit. And we need to clearly define our ideal customer profile. So what are the attributes of an ideal customer? And then against those attributes, what are the trigger events that we should be looking for? Because trigger events provide context for engagement. It's meaningful context. I see a lot of technology trying to personalize outreach at scale, and I haven't seen very much that is any good. So a lot of the personalization, I get things hit my own inbox inside LinkedIn, within mails. I'll often get messages, hello, Tony J. Now, I call myself Tony J. Hughes in LinkedIn because there's quite a few Tony Hugheses in the world, but nobody that deals with me calls me Tony J. They just call me Tony. So J is my middle initial. But the moment something says, hi, Tony J, what I know is it's been screen scraped illegally, because that's a violation of LinkedIn's terms, but it's been screen scraped out of LinkedIn. But hi, Tony J, I notice you're based in Sydney, or congratulations on being co-founder and CEO of Sales IQ Global. Anything that opens like that, it just screams spam and just gets ignored or deleted. So being able to use this concept of liquid syntax to be able to, in a very fluid way, inject meaningful personalization is a holy grail of outbound for marketers and sellers. So at the top of the funnel, just to get back to that question, this process of being clear about an ideal customer profile, monitoring for trigger events on where there's highest propensity to buy, where there's strongest fit, where you're right person, right time with the right type of conversation. If we can use technology to really set that up for the human seller, then the human can start to apply the wonderful things that people bring into the equation at the right time. But people, typically sellers especially, are not very good at wading through huge amounts of data and trying to figure out who to run outreach to. So if we can automate a lot of that process, I think, sales and marketing convergence is one of the big trends. Sales and marketing coming together. Marketing's always been good at working with tech stacks, far better than sellers. So if we can get the sales and marketing machine to work well together to create high propensity to buy lists, and then automate the initial outbound so that humans can engage, I think that's where people get the strongest results. And those lower value sales roles, those more junior roles, I think will disappear. Every seller needs to lift the level of value that they provide in their role so that they can fund themselves.
How do you think it will affect account managers and things like that? Do we see a higher productivity there as well, or is it primarily top of the funnel you see the biggest changes?
I think the biggest changes, Jacob, are in the top of the funnel, the whole process of outbound to create pipeline, and the whole concept of attraction marketing or attraction selling to create inbound. I think technology and automation is very important in that area. Once you're into the funnel, the process of progressing, discovering, and qualifying for progression through to close, that's really a process of managing deal risk. And if you look at what humans bring to the equation, all of those elements of fun and humor and storytelling, transferring their own level of belief and creating trust, being able to manage ambiguity and manage politics, set a vision, help to secure consensus, create emotional connection. All of these things that I'm talking about are things that machines I don't think will ever do. helping the customer build that business case and secure approval internally, they're really important roles. And what's going to happen with the more senior selling roles is I think there'll be fewer of those roles. They'll have bigger numbers that they need to hit, and they'll need to lift their game in the level of value that they provide. So professional selling needs to become more professional, and the volume part of selling, dealing with big data, is going to be increasingly automated.
For a sales team now that is talking about this and wondering, and then the sales manager is, scrolling LinkedIn, seeing all these updates of tools and platforms and things like that. Do you have any recommendations, or tools? What is a good tech stack in 2024, or what components should you be integrating if you're in the beginning of this journey? Is there any recommendations in that part?
If we think about the essential tech stack, obviously every business should have a CRM. We do need a single source of truth about the interactions with prospects and customers. And we need a way for our own teams internally to be able to collaborate. And we need a level of transparency and visibility. And we also need to make sure that our own company's IP doesn't walk out the door when a seller leaves. So obviously, we need a CRM. And most sellers and most companies do not use their own CRM very effectively. So CRM needs to move in the way it's implemented. It's typically not a problem with the CRM technology companies. It's more a problem of the CRM customer in the way that they've implemented their own system and the way that they use it. But we need CRM to be a system of sales process execution rather than just a system of record. So we want our reps receiving the leads in CRM. We want them conducting discovery in CRM. We want them applying for resources for deal pursuit inside CRM. We want the forecasting inside CRM, not so much in spreadsheets. So get good at using CRM is the first thing. Next thing is I'd absolutely integrate CRM to something like LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is really the modern global yellow pages. It's a self-eating garden of quality data. So the prospects we're selling to are typically motivated to keep LinkedIn up to date. It's how they present their own personal brand so they can maximize the potential of a promotion or for a career change. So integrating Navigator into our CRM is really important. And then what I'd suggest is we need sales intelligence tools that give us things like email addresses and phone numbers. So in markets like North America, things like ZoomInfo that acquired DiscoverOrg would be an example. In Europe, I'm a big fan of Lucia. If you look at the spelling, it looks like it's pronounced Lusha, but it's really pronounced Lucia. Lucia is Eastern European for grandmother. The philosophy of the tool, it's got a little granny with glasses that you see in your Chrome plugin, whether you're sitting on a company's website or in LinkedIn. But the whole philosophy was if you went into a little village and wanted to know anything about anybody, you just go to the old grandmother of the village and she knows everything. So that was really the philosophy. But those sales intelligence tools, are really good. And then, that's what I'd say is really the essential stack. I'd probably add to that today things like ChatGPT. Generative AI is really powerful. You can feed a prospect's, if it's a company, you could feed that company's annual report. You could feed their annual report into ChatGPT or any of the other tools and ask it to summarize the strategy. So you could ask it to draft outbound emails. You could ask it to help you with an industry point of view. If they're in a particular industry, you could ask it what the typical KPIs or performance metrics are in a role for an industry or for a company. So turning up with a point of view is really important, and generative AI can help us. It is, however, really important to not be lazy. Sadly, many sellers are not good writers, and writing, communicate is an essential skill if you want to seek to persuade anybody. So we should use generative AI as an assistant in our writing, not a replacement. It becomes fairly obvious when you receive content that's written by generative AI. But I'd say that's certainly a very important part of the tech stack today.
Super interesting. And do you see any risks or trends that we're over communicating and spamming our clients these days with all the tools and techniques we have at hand? And how do you see that play out? Should we do something else? Should we bring back the old fax machine again? and find the channels that are not spammed.
But Jacob, you raise such an important point. There is massive risk for every sales and marketing company for them to damage their brand, to burn through these hard to create lists. Last thing you want to do is just burn through a list, damage your brand, and have your own web domain blocked because the world perceives you as a spammer. And that is absolutely going to be a massive problem. So what we should be thinking about is we should think the same way the musicians think. The way a musician thinks is less is more. I want my music to be less busy. I want it to be cleaner. I want it to be tighter. And it's the same with sales and marketing. We're dealing with huge amounts of data, and the whole world is not a prospect. We need to think, how do we keep filtering down? What is my ideal customer profile? How can I go and find the attributes and do the matching? And once I'm clear on attributes, how can I then monitor for trigger events and then engage based on good fit and then relevance? Because that's in essence what ideal customer profile matching, and then knowing your buyer personas and what matters to them and the trigger events that happen in their world that create relevance and context for how we could help them. That's how we can make sure that our sales and marketing spend is really effective. So spending more and more money on tools needs to be done in a nuanced and highly intelligent way so that we are more effectively targeting, especially in applying the expensive human resources in our own sales organizations in opportunity pursuit.
Yeah, we have talked about a lot of stuff here, but it's also important to understand how do you think we should train our professionals today? We, as you say, we need to stay on top and we need to train on the new tool stacks and things like that. But how do you help your clients to stay on top of these trends? And how should sales professionals or team leaders prepare and stay relevant and stay competitive from that perspective? Do you have any tricks or ideas about that?
The truth is, Jacob, we need to combine old school and new school together. And one of the old school things I believe we need to go back to is being truly customer centric. We need to get back to what problem do I really solve for my customer, and why is solving that problem important to them? Why should that be a priority in their own organization? We need to think about selling to both head and heart. What's the things that are connected emotionally around their own KPIs? And what are the things that monetize for the organization? So, as they seek approval internally, there's a strong business case for investing resources and funding in change, because all change represents a level of work and risk. So, to take someone out of current state, there needs to be a really good reason to do so. So, if we can train our own salespeople beyond training them on our own product and our own tools, if we can really train them on the world of the customer. And that's why I think it's really important for every company, wherever they can, because often you need scale to be able to do this. Wherever we can, we need to specialize around industry verticals, around buyer personas, and around particular solutions. Because then our people, if they go deep in the world of the buyer, then they're able to turn up and in a very credible way have a point of view. And they can create conversations that go beyond mere interest in what we offer to instead creating genuine intent to change. So if we can help our sellers be more consultative and then help them wrangle their tech stack. So for bigger organizations, the revenue operations or sales operations area, or sales admin may be working with marketing, but really helping the sellers be able to use your own tech stack in a way that gives them back their time. Technology is so often just this massive time sink. Just if you think about something like LinkedIn, so many sellers spend hours and hours in LinkedIn and they're not productive. Helping our sellers understand, how do I build a saved search that can identify, for example, six targets every day that I should run outreach to, rather than they start researching and they go down the rabbit hole of LinkedIn and get lost.
What is the competency profile a sales team should look for when hiring and bringing on new people today? Do you see any specific skill sets that have changed over time, or is it the same that we recruited for 20 years ago?
So there's a few things that are timeless. If you're wanting to hire a seller for new business development, that's either a lot of upsell and cross-sell into an installed base, or they need to win new logo accounts. There's a few things that are just non-negotiables for me as a hiring manager. They need to be relatively smart. You don't want dumb people working for you, and you don't want lazy people working for you, and you don't want people working for you that have a sense of entitlement. Right. So you want people that want to be there and are willing to earn any level of promotion. At a personality level, because personality is tied up in what I just described, in essence, you're wanting a driver personality. So amiable personalities, in other words, people that don't like conflict, they're conflict avoiders, they're risk avoiders, they don't like bad news. Those people, in my view, it's almost impossible for them to be successful in a new business development role. You have to be a driver. And then at a secondary personality trait level, you'll be either a driver expressive personality or you will be a driver analytic personality. But you need to be a driver. So that's probably the most important thing. The next thing is I want someone who is genuinely intellectually curious about the world of their customers. And I want them to have good human values where they genuinely believe that selling is about making a positive difference in the life of the customer. It's not about crushing quota. It's not about closing the customer. It's not about crushing the competition. It's not about all of those ego things. Selling is an act of service. And you want people with high EQ where they're aware of their own strengths and weaknesses, but they're all about other people. And they've learned how to get out of their own way in life in trying to be successful. They don't care about, well, everyone cares, but they've gotten over the fact that selling is a rejection-laden profession, right? Like you're gonna have a lot of rejection. But that's okay. That's a necessary part of doing the job. It's not about people liking me. It's about me finding people that I can help. So if you can find people like that and they're obviously very teachable. People that have a reasonably tech savvy and they can write. The thing I found in my life is sellers who can't write create a hell of a lot of overhead for the manager and a lot of frustration because anyone you hire is representing the brand of the organization. And we do have to be able to communicate in written form effectively. So I'd make sure that the people can write as well as a basic skill.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. I know you're busy, so we're going to wind down now, but a last recommendation to sales professionals and sales team leaders. What should they prepare or watch out for in the coming 1, 2 years here? And what should we focus on going forward if you want to have a closing recommendation or insight?
If you're not growing, you're going backwards. Every one of your competitors in their own boardroom around their own whiteboard are thinking about how they go and take your customers away. So we have to figure out how to provide ever-increasing levels of value to our customers. And typically that additional value we provide is outside our own product, service, or solution that we're actually selling. So the way we engage is what determines whether we typically win. And we know that loyal, happy customers alone is probably the best sales strategy in the world. So making sure that our customers are deriving value from what it is that we do for them. The next thing is it's super important that we become technology aware and that we become masterfully capable in our own tech stack. Tech is changing insanely fast. I've given a few examples in this call, but if we don't figure out how to use technology incredibly well, to improve our own productivity, the danger is that that very technology that we fail to use will end up replacing us. So work out how to be superhuman in the way that we use technology, especially important for leaders, because if we can make that easy for our people, we'll start driving up everybody's productivity. They're probably the main things.
Wonderful. I love those closing remarks. Thank you so much, Tony, and it was a pleasure talking to you. And for people who want to know more about these really insightful and super exciting and important trends and so forth, where can they find more about you and your content and books and so forth?
Yeah, so I'd re really encourage people to get Tech-Powered Sales and Have a Read. It's published by HarperCollins Leadership out of New York and the American Management Association. Connect with me in LinkedIn. So Tony, you just get into LinkedIn and look for Tony Hughes. I publish a lot of posts about the latest trends in technology, especially for sales and marketing. My public speaker website with lots of free content is tonyhughes.com.au. And corporately, if you're looking for sales training and enablement in your organization, we work globally. You can go to salesiqglobal.com. And thanks so much, Jacob, for having me on.
Thank you, Tony.